It's time for Misleading.
You've heard the leads on The Greg Hill Show. You've heard these?
Of course I have.
I don't think they lead well.
Would you have gone with Shimes over yours?
Damn, I don't even remember what mine was, so.
On Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We're going to get back into your expectations for Drake May and his opening start at high noon. I know Bill O'Brien had some thoughts on that on The Greg Hill Show today. It's Misleading here on Jones and Keefe. One update quickly.
Yes.
And we all expected it. Jim Montgomery did confirm today Jeremy Swayman's going to get the start for the Bruins.
Right. The $8.25 million man.
He's going to be out. One game of Corpy was enough.
That's not bad, though. Yeah, I've seen enough.
Yeah.
I've seen enough of Corpy. So we get Swayman. So all of that long, dragged out, you know, negotiation where there's a lot of hurt feelings. There are a couple of temper tantrums. There was, podcast appearances. There were statements from the agent. There's all kinds of stuff. He missed one game, he's still probably going to hit that 55 mark that we expected.
Yeah. So, you know, how much rust will there be? How will he look, et cetera, et cetera? We can get to all that later on in the program. WEEI Afternoons, by the way, is going to talk to Andrew Raycroft, the Razor,
today
at 4:30. So you can stay tuned for that. Bruins coverage all day long here on WEEI. This morning on The Greg Hill Show, Bill O'Brien, Boston College head coach, made his weekly appearance. And, well, he was asked about how you manage a young quarterback. He coached Deshaun Watson in Houston. So how you bring along and manage a young quarterback, here's what he had to say.
I would say the first thing is understanding the operation, right? Like, you know, everything from the play call to the mic point, the setting of the run blocking, the setting of the protections, the, you know, keeping it simple, less plays. I wouldn't have 150 plays on the call sheet, I can tell you that. Less plays, plays that he really likes. You know, I was always into, you know, making sure during the week that the quarterback understood, hey, this is what we're going to do. And do you like these plays? You know, are you comfortable with these plays? And do you see them the right way? And so I think, you know, Drake May is obviously an extremely talented guy. He's drafted at number 3, and it's at a very exciting time for the Patriots. And so you got to try to keep it simple for him and talk to him about moving the chains and not trying to, you know, win the game in one drive.
Okay, so I think that last point is probably a good message to hammer home throughout the week and specifically on Sunday. I think that's something you probably need to keep doing. Yeah, keep it simple, stupid.
Keep it simple, silly.
But, yeah, it's...
I don't call the guy stupid.
Athletes
for
these days,
yeah,
you know, Gen Z. Keep it simple there, silly.
Yep.
So, I go back and forth. I go into the week saying, and go into the game on Sunday saying, we're going to manage it. We're going to focus on running the football, and we're going to focus on this handful of plays that you like. I'm on board with all of that. But if he's out there checking boxes and he's out there exceeding expectations or things are going better on offense, you shouldn't be afraid to open it up, let it rip. If you fall behind, you're going to have to do that.
Yep.
You shouldn't be afraid to do that. The more he can handle, and I'd start with that on Sunday, the more he can handle, the more you can continue to put on his plate. So I would go in with a vanilla approach, a lot of running, plays that he likes when he's going to drop back and throw it. But once he proves he can do that, you can start piling more and more on, and they should have that ready to go in game one, week one against Houston.
It's also another reason he should have started week one, because then now by week five, there's more plays in the in the book and everything else. Because I think Bill O'Brien is spot on with this. And you can be like, oh, well, the offense sucked last year. But he was... He's not a miracle worker. He was working with Mac Jones and with Bailey Zappi. So, like, what did you want him to do? When he was coaching Deshaun Watson had some really, really, really good years in Houston. I mean, he became a top five quarterback in Houston, and he played, I forget what week he ended
up
starting.
I want to say he played like week two or three. It was not week one, but it was very early.
And he was really good, right? So I think, you know, he has at least some experience there, and it makes all the sense in the world. Find out what Drake May does well. Emphasize those things, but also as a quarterback in the league, kind of he just needs to be comfortable. Drake May does with the whole, I think, just steal his word, operation, right? Like, what is everybody doing? You don't want to be out there lost or second guessing things or like not knowing the coverages and things like that. It is another reason why not having David Andrews is going to be, I think, a pretty key factor. Like, how confident are you in Nick Leverett identifying every single defensive, you know, blitz pickup and all that other stuff? Like, I feel like if you have a veteran team captain out there, it helps. But, you know, there is no perfect situation. Once again, this is the hand you've been dealt. This is the offensive line. This is the shape of the offensive line that it is in now. And you're going to have to make the most of it. But, yeah, I think oversimplify and, you know, kind of stick with some key plays. That's the easiest thing to do.
I think he started week two. I think similar to Josh Allen, he got in at the end of the game week one. He replaced Tom Savage.
Savage.
Maybe for injury, I don't know. And then he started week two against the Bengals and started from that point forward until he got hurt. And again, this is a young Deshaun Watson. And we're only bringing that up because of Bill O'Brien, and that's who he managed early on. I will reiterate.
He was awesome, and then he got hurt, right?
He was incredible his rookie year, and he was really good in that early stretch in Houston. His rookie year was 2017.
He played seven games, and he had 19 touchdowns, eight picks.
Remember? It was the year that the Patriots went to the Super Bowl and lost to the Eagles, and Brandon Cooks was here in his first year. He went like toe-to-toe with Brady.
He did.
In one of those games early
on. That was his second career start.
Yeah.
He threw for 301, two touchdowns, did throw two picks, but they lost by three.
Yeah. I mean, to Brady. And I think the Patriots needed a drive late to win that game, if memory serves. So the next year, 2018, Watson's second year, that was a year where the Houston Texans gave up a pressure rate at one of the highest that ESPN has tracked. Okay, so the Patriots right now, I said this the other day, entering Sunday, Reese had this in his Sunday notes, the Patriots are giving up pressure on 46% of the snaps. That is the highest rate, or was among the highest rates going back since ESPN began conducting research. The only teams with a higher rate, the 2018 Texans with Watson and Bill O'Brien, 2014 Seattle that went to a Super Bowl, and the 2022 Bears. All of them had young mobile quarterbacks. The Texans that year won 11 games.
Yeah, he threw for over 4,100 yards, 26 touchdowns, 9 picks as a Pro Bowler.
So like the idea that you have and give up a lot of pressure and you're not necessarily protecting your young quarterback and the quarterback's just screwed, wrong. Deshaun Watson disproved that. A young Russell Wilson disproved that. Justin Fields with the Bears, not so much. But those are the other quarterbacks on that list, and Drake May can join that.
It's crazy how good he was and how bad he is. Watson's not even 30.
Yeah,
and he
bad
sucks.
On the field, bad off the field. Terrible
Karma,
all the way around.
Call whatever you want.
I mean, it's just but he was like
incredible.
The way we're talking about C.J. Stroud now.
Yeah,
not that stylistically they're exactly the
same. Watson was better. Watson to me was a no doubt. His last year in Houston, even though the team sucked, he had two good years record-wise, then a bad year, but statistically he was great. He was a top five quarterback in the league.
Yeah.
And now he is a bottom five, maybe bottom, maybe the dead last quarterback.
Browns are idiots, but there's a reason he has a fully guaranteed contract.
Yeah.
Because he was that highly thought of. And it just,
crazy.
You know,
yeah, he stinks.
The shine came off quickly.
Uh-huh.